Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, I have the best news ever. We are doing a live show in London.
We're doing our first ever live Educating Josh. It's on the 12th of December at Dingwalls in London.
And it is going to be amazing.
Incredible.
It's going to be incredible. We're doing live interactive discussions and debates about all the biggest stories that have happened across the whole year.
So head over to our Twitter at Educating Josh, where there will be a top tweet, a pinned tweet with all the information on how you can come and how you can get tickets. See you there, guys.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella Earl, I, Luke Cutforth, and our very special guest, Riyad Khalaf, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Riyad, welcome to the podcast. You described yourself to me as a fucking idiot off the internet. Could you please elaborate on who you are and why people should listen to you?
So I do a lot of the things on the internet, like, you know, selfies, etc.
All of them, all the things.
Porn, yeah. Now, I have a podcast called Unexpected Fluids.
It's
very nice. It's a podcast about fuck-ups while you're fucking. It's a BBC Radio 1 production. I don't know how we're still on the air, but we are. We've got three seasons nearly in the bag, but we've been commissioned for three. So that's what I do. I've got a YouTube channel and I'm writing a book.
Very nice.
Yeah, of course you're writing a book.
I'm not a YouTuber.
But the book is, it's not one of those dickhead
this
YouTuber
book's
books.
Different.
It is. It's a life Bible for gay boys. How to come out and how to find yourself.
Fantastic. Okay, aww. So last week I started off the show with my question. My question was, should birthright citizenship be stopped?
Birthright?
Birthright.
Should people be allowed to get in the bath, guys?
Should birthright citizenship be stopped? And we had a very fairly decisive audience here.
This is very decisive.
15% yes, 79% no, and 6% other.
Well, wow. That's because your listeners are young millennials.
Yeah, that is true.
And they're woken with it.
I wonder if we have any Trump supporters listening. That'd be really interesting. Oh. If you're a Trump supporter, please let us know. Like, genuinely, we're not going to attack you. We just want to know.
Of course we're not going to attack you. And if you are a Trump supporter, do you agree with him? You can support him and still not agree with him.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting.
Interesting. Okay, well, anyway, Katie on Twitter said to us, I definitely think it depends on the context. If your mother happened to give birth on a holiday, no, you shouldn't be granted US citizenship. But if a mother has worked or lived in the US for X amount of years, then yes.
Well, that's not context. That's agreeing with Trump. Pretty much.
That's also agreeing with the current UK law.
It's agreeing with the context of what Trump is saying.
Yeah, because he's not banning it. He's
not banning it. He's modifying it.
That's very true. Wow, yeah. Katie, accidental Trump supporter. Okay, so Lucy, you were second last week. What was your story and how did it do in the polls?
Yeah, I asked if the government should be doing more to control gambling. 79% said yes, 15% said no, and 6% said other.
Yeah, that was a great result. I still don't think they should do more. I still think they should do more to educate, not control the actual gambling itself. But it's really interesting to see that kind of response to it.
This is almost the exact same result as the previous
one. Yes, it is.
15, 79 and 6 just switched.
That's really weird.
Isn't it?
Are we sure that's right?
I wonder if
that's
just
looking at our producer
Jack has copy and pasted twice accidentally. I wonder if it's the same people from each story voting for the same result.
I'd imagine so.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Anyway, moving smugly on, Ryan on Twitter said, if visibly intoxicated people are meant to be refused service, should the same not apply to those who are clearly addicted to gambling as well? At the very least, I don't think casinos, etc., should be allowed to tempt them any further. No free drinks, for example. That's just vile.
That's a very, very, very good point.
And Ryan has successfully used all 280 characters of his tweet.
Yeah, look at that. Wow.
Well, he's put them to good use.
He has.
I can name some people that don't.
Okay, so last week we had Hannah Witten as a guest. Could you please read us her story from last week?
So she says, should we ban the public sale of fireworks? The results are yes, 72%, no, 25%, or other 3%.
Pretty much the same again. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Bria?
I think that fireworks should be lightly regulated, so they should be sold to only over 18s, and they should come with a very, very... not strict, but clear usage instructions. How to use them, where to use them, when to use them.
So okay, well, Ria just did my job in about 30 seconds, so that's rather embarrassing.
Ruth on Twitter said, the amount of trauma fireworks give animals for at least a week each year is cruel and inhumane. I still like a big bang in the air. I have to say, I know that dogs don't like them, but maybe we could get like dog sound cancelling earphones or something.
Dog muffs. I like that.
I'd be all for that.
All right, so it's time to move on to the first story of the week, and that is Lucy's story.
My headline comes from The Guardian. Congrats, Idris Elba, but next year, let's have a less macho, sexiest man alive.
Oh, that's a sassy headline for The Guardian.
Here are the three things that you need to know, Josh. People magazine has crowned Idris Elba the sexiest man alive. Mm. The Guardian claims that the magazine has a flawed title that only rewards decidedly masculine, established, patriarchal figures. People magazine, however, said, for a man to be sexy in 2018, we need to know that they are respectful of women and that there's a kind of kindness and generosity of spirit about the guy. So my question for you, Josh, is modern society thinking too deeply about what should be considered sexy?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
Yes, I think modern society is definitely thinking too deeply about what should be considered sexy. My kind of... when I find someone sexy, it's a knee-jerk reaction. And I don't want to have to go through a multitude of filters to figure out whether I'm being problematic or not before I find someone sexy. I think... is that not... do you know what I mean? It's got to be a natural response, surely.
Well...
was that 20 seconds?
I don't know.
That was quick.
Well, we'll find out, Josh.
Will we?
So... ooh. Do all of you guys... What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, I think Idris Elba is very sexy.
Yeah, you've had your 20 seconds.
Okay.
This is a hard one, because what you're trying to say is, hey, broadly, world, we think that this person is sexy for everyone, which is absolutely impossible. Idris Elba is not sexy to me, but he is downright sexy to my mother and to a lot of mothers. But I also agree with Josh. I kind of think, you know, should we go through criteria and second guess what we physically feel drawn to? I don't think we should. I think maybe what should change here is not who they say is sexiest man of the year, but maybe they should change the title sexiest man of the year according to X. You know, maybe they do a poll.
Be more specific. Yeah, because it's kind of interesting as well, because People magazine have said for a man to be sexy in 2018... who? What? Why do you get to say
that?
Well,
what I found interesting about that as well is that for a man to be sexy, he has to be respectful of women. And so that is assuming straight relationships.
Yeah, wow, which again, that's not necessarily...
well, I was thinking about this on the train here. That's not necessarily a problematic statement, because if you're naming somebody sexiest man in the world, you're assuming that there's a general kind of like average towards that man, like that he has the most votes of humanity, for example.
Right.
And a straight man is always going to win that because there are more straight women than there are gay men.
But that's saying that that man must be straight seen as sexy.
I'm just saying that if everyone in the world voted who's the sexiest man, that man would be a straight man straight women than there are gay men.
So what? You still have gay men
voting. Saying is,
you don't disregard their vote.
Yeah, but he's still going to be the sexiest man in the world according to the populace.
No, but why can't straight women find gay men attractive?
Well, they can, but it's largely pointless.
Well, not really. How many women who fancy Idris Elba are actually ever going to get with Idris Elba?
It's pointless fancying him to begin with.
I think the whole thing is so stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
People magazine have talked amongst themselves and decided who's sexy. They've not even taken it to a public vote. They do it to get in the headlines. I mean, last year it was a country singer. And the headline, one of the headlines was Blake Shelton, the sexiest man on the planet, apparently. I think they do these kind of off the mark sexiest man on earth
to get press.
To get the press attention. Right. Yeah, and we've fallen for it.
It's like how many online outlets have done sexiest man, sexiest woman, ugliest man, ugliest women, or even they're going to put on an award ceremony that doesn't need to happen. It's all just PR for the brand.
Yeah, and I think unless the... the title was, you know, sexiest man alive to women, that right. statement is problematic. Like, you can't just disregard it.
Okay, I think you're misunderstanding what I mean. I'm not saying that that you automatically have to erase all gay men. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if there was a vote, whoever the straight women voted for would yes. win because there are more straight women.
But that doesn't make...
But that means it's like the most powerful irrelevant. Man in the world is Trump because people voted for Trump. He has the power because he has the vote.
I mean, yeah, but
maybe
it's,
Trump's
yeah.
a bad example because he didn't actually win the popular vote. But...
Yeah. I think this goes beyond gay or straight here. I think yeah. it goes down to the glorification of uber ultra masculinity. You know, they spoke in the article, or people have commented about, you know, they always pick men that have the chiseled jaw and the rugged look. They're quite physically large men. Mm. It's like saying, how long is a piece of string? It's such a nuanced thing. Mm. You know, I find guys with glasses and kind of a nerdy look attractive, whereas, you know, you might not. It's kind of, it's you can't boil it down to just three or four solid concrete attributes that a yeah. person does or doesn't have.
Yeah. And also, there's no need to kind of hang them for it as well. Like, I think there is something quite fun in these articles when you kind of sat around with friends, you see them, you're like, oh my God, no, I don't agree with that one at mm. all. Or, oh no, he or she would be three levels higher than where they've put them. And you just have like a fun evening with a bottle of wine and take the mic.
They're giving you content. They're giving you content.
Exactly.
They do. Yeah. Actually, I take issue with the fact that it's sexiest man alive. That's discriminatory against necrophiliacs.
Someone think of the dead.
I thought you meant against dead people.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, yes,
the
and
people
those.
That like dead people.
Oh God, even worse than
let's
funny.
Let's see sexiest man yeah. dead. I think that'd be good.
Oh God.
I think, I mean, what I find kind of funny here as well is that I don't think what they're actually talking about is sexiness. I think that's what's so confusing about mm-hmm. this for me.
Yeah.
Is that what they're actually talking about is who is the most attractive celebrity to be at your awards party. I think that's what they're defining as sexy. Like, in terms of like someone's like hot, like they are hot, like hot
right now.
Hot right now. Yes, as opposed to being like sexually attractive.
There's definitely an element of actual sex.
Sexiness.
Well, doesn't sexy mean you want to have sex with them? And like on the topic of macho men, isn't that something that's
on the decline?
Oh,
okay. Is that just...
Oh.
Well, I'd say it's on the decline.
It's on the decline,
generally.
But I would agree with you, Lucy, in that they're probably traditionally and genetically and all the sort of traits that aren't within our specific society. Yes, masculinity and strength is an attractive trait.
I think it's a biological thing as well, though. You know,
yeah. Well, that's what I mean. By
I think it's great, isn't it, as a society that we're moving to a place where we see, you know, feminine attributes in a man as a positive thing rather yeah. than a negative thing, and we're not saying to little boys, "Don't cry anymore, express yourself." Hey, if you want a Barbie, have a Barbie. All that's great, but I think it's about realizing as well that some things are biologically programmed into gay men and women where we find certain masculine traits alluring. Mm-hmm. You know, because I believe personally that, you know, as the you're looking for a hunter-gatherer, you're looking for someone that's going to be strong and maybe going to protect
thing,
you or themselves.
Yeah. Just like men are more often than not programmed to prefer big bums and big boobs. Like, mm-hmm. Isn't that a thing? Because that's what's going to feed a child.
Childbearing and hips.
Childbearing hips.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although, I'll put a question out there. Piers Morgan and the Daniel Craig papoose thing, everyone saw that.
Yes.
Oh, holding the baby. With the papoose, right?
Daniel Craig was holding a baby.
In general, is that not extremely attractive to someone that's attracted to men to see a masculine man holding a baby in a papoose like that?
I can't tell you.
It makes my jaw feel weak.
It makes my ovaries ouchy.
Which, in turn, if the definition of masculine is that you attract the person that desires to have sex with you more, it makes him more masculine. Yeah. So Piers Morgan was completely wrong.
Yes, I definitely think that what's so attractive about that is that he is somebody who we already know is strong and isn't scared to be seen as anti-masculine by a traditional standard.
Yeah, and Daniel Radcliffe, someone has told me, and this could be complete hearsay, so please don't take this as absolute fact, and it could already be out, but he is obviously extremely masculine.
Daniel Radcliffe, the most masculine man that I know.
See, now this is interesting. Why are you laughing?
I was laughing so silently so they couldn't hear me, damn it.
Yeah.
You know exactly why we're laughing, Rhea. Yeah.
Expelliarmus.
Well, I think Rhea made a better point than I was ever going to, so we should move on. Let's move on.
Charles, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
Yes, I think modern society is definitely thinking too deeply about what should be considered sexy. When I find someone sexy, it's a knee-jerk reaction, and I don't want to have to go through a multitude of filters to figure out whether I'm being problematic or not before I find someone sexy. Do you know what I mean? It's got to be a natural response, surely. Well, I think I'm kind of regretting the use of the words knee and jerk.
As you were saying that, I was like, don't you jerk something else, John?
This is sounding more and more like my podcast. Where are we?
I think I still stand by that statement, yeah. I think it's ridiculous and it's thinking way too deeply.
Hmm. All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week. That's my story. Okay, so my story comes from The Guardian, and it is that Dutch Christmas character Black Pete to shed his blackface for TV. Here are the three things you need to know, Josh. NTR, the Dutch equivalent of the BBC, has announced that it will change the appearance of the traditional Christmas character Black Pete, whose blackface sparks annual controversy. The character, who traditionally helps Father Christmas, will only have soot smudges on his face for his arrival later this week. Critics say his afro hair, black skin, red lips and earrings are a reminder of the era when the Netherlands exploited slaves. But many Dutch people strongly defend the tradition, with the most common explanation being that his black face is because of the soot and the chimneys he goes down to bring us presents. So my question for you is, should holiday traditions be abolished if they are deemed problematic by modern standards? 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I don't think so by default, but I think if something's happened recently, if there is an outcry of people who are offended by something, then that voice should also be heard as well. So I don't think that they should be abolished necessarily, but I think right now, especially in that situation, it's too sore a subject for people. In 300 years' time, I don't think that would be seen as a racist thing to do, to black up, like people say. It wouldn't be racist. You just haven't had the healing period yet.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so
I did not think you'd say that. The problem is that it's a white person who has a higher social hierarchy place trying to depict another person and sort of cartoonize certain aspects of that person's being that they can't control. So they don't put on brown makeup, they put on basically like black as night makeup. They over accentuate the lips and the hair, and they traditionally the minstrel
they play acts, on stereotypes.
You know, used to do their voices and stuff, so it's a highly offensive, I think, even in 300 years.
I would very much recommend people listening to this to Google image Black Pete, because when we were researching this, there was a strong argument that he could have been
the soot on his face,
he's sooty, but actually we've looked at the picture. Mm-hmm. It's not, and anyone who's kidding themselves with that is an idiot. And actually I think there is, as Josh has put forward, I think
they're not an idiot, but they may be misguided,
like, right? Well, okay, but looking at what we've seen, the person is brown. Soot is not brown. Soot is black. Soot is
I don't
gray.
Think they're misguided either. I think that they have an agenda.
Sure. And I'd actually rather somebody try and defend the right to dress up as whatever they want to dress up as than to just lie. Like, mm-hmm. Lying to me is worse than if you genuinely believe that you can black up, then that's your opinion. You can have your opinion. Fine, but don't lie to me.
Lying is almost erasing the issue.
Yeah.
It's saying this isn't a thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. My idea of it moving forward, of like absolute acceptance and just true equality, which isn't really fathomable at the moment, is that it does get to a point where you can do what you want and no one takes offense to it. And right now we have a certain history of things that happened that were horrible. And so that's my point, is that right now, of course, absolutely not. And if there's a big enough... not even a big enough... if there's one person that's horrendously, you know, troubled by it or takes offence to it, then I completely agree that you can make the argument that it be abolished. I think in this case, it's just not right. It's take away all your kind of instant knee-jerk reactions to it. I've used that word again. I'm loving it.
Feeling horny.
It's, are you doing No Nut November?
Regardless of whether you define it as a racist act or not, right? Say this person comes in, and the only logical defense of this that I could kind of come up with myself, the only stance I could take on it, is that anyone should be able to act as anything, to depict a character, blah-de-blah-de-blah. That's absolutely correct. But and I don't think that necessarily means that it has to be a black person playing that role. So if that was a point, then fine. But as soon as one person goes, I really find it hard to play a white person, see a white person play on stereotypes of a black person, and because the way people black up as well is extremified. It's not, they don't look like a black person at all. They look like some, it's so over the top. As soon as someone takes offense to that, then it's not okay. And there is, we're just not in an era or a time period where anyone isn't going to take offense to it. I do believe in a long time there will be people that it just won't be.
I think
a thing.
That's where we differ. I think that's the one that I don't think even in 1,000 years it would be okay to do blackface, because then it means that history and memory and solace over something that had happened has like a sell by date. It means that all of the stuff that's happened in
the
past
really
only lasts 300
that's
years.
That's super interesting, but my point would be, if you're truly going to progress from something, if today a black person whited up, I wouldn't take offense to it. And the reason I wouldn't is because,
well, because you've never been oppressed.
So, of course, I have never been oppressed, so it's not a thing. In 30,000 years, do you think it's healthy to still look back and go,
well, I just
this
think
is
what's
where
the
we
purpose,
were, this is
what would
what
be
happened.
The purpose of doing it.
Well, you just transcend all of that. You become a, but you're just,
I think that's a utopian world.
Absolutely. What I find really sad about this, though, if you can find some sort of like rest, like solace or sort of positive side to this, is that while I think this probably was founded in racism, the idea of blacking up, the idea of the cartoonization of a black person, the caricature, that may well have been founded in racism, but the people who are practicing it now, who grew up on it as their childhood tradition, aren't necessarily racist, didn't found it in racism.
It was spoon-fed to them.
Exactly. And they're being told this tradition that they probably love as just this character they see on TV, they're being told they can't have that anymore.
Yeah. That is
because of things that thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago, their descendants did.
It is difficult to think of the thing that you were brought up in and that you probably love and have beautiful memories attached to is actually really, really bad.
Yes.
And like, I mean, I think of it this way. If we were told tomorrow that we could never see, speak about or enjoy Santa Claus,
Tracy Beaker,
or Harry Potter, because you know, something that's hard, but
and that you're a racist for continuing to like this character you grew up on.
If you know the information and you have a right thinking mind, you should let go of it. That's kind of what we're asking.
And even if it is, which a lot of the people who are defending it are saying, it's a tradition. It's based in a history of the Dutch's involvement in the slave trade. Even if it is that, even if it's completely innocent and it's nothing to do with the racist stereotypes attached to it, if there's a big group of people that are finding it offensive,
let it go.
Stop putting it, rubbing it in their faces. It's a tradition that should be let go. Do you know what I mean? Literally rubbing it in their faces. Stop it.
All right, so Josh, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
I don't think so by default, but I think if something's happened recently, if there is an outcry of people who are offended by something, then that voice should also be heard as well. So I don't think that they should be abolished necessarily, but I think right now, especially in that situation, it's too sore a subject for people. In 300 years time, I don't think that would be seen as a racist thing to do, to black up, like people say. It wouldn't be racist. You just haven't had the healing period yet.
How do you feel about that, Josh?
Well, I don't know if I agree with myself. At the end, the idea of blacking up, there is no equivalent trope for a white person, if that makes sense. Sounds like a, it feels like a superpower, a superhero's move, or like a, I just don't like the idea that that is an adjective. It does feel wrong. Does that make sense? Hearing myself say black up like that felt wrong.
And what do you think about the 300-year thing now?
I think I'm probably wrong on the amount of time. I do think...
30,000 years is okay.
30,000 years, I think we've probably progressed.
We won't be here anymore, let's be honest. The world is fucked as it is.
All right.
Yay!
Well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the last story of the week. That's Riyadh's story.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My story is from NPR, National Public Radio in America. They say that the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, cracks down on e-cigarette sales to curb teen vaping. So in America, regulators want to ban the sale of most flavoured e-cigarettes such as strawberry bubblegum and chocolate at convenience stores and require anyone buying them online to verify their age. E-cigarettes have been a divisive topic, with some saying they shift lifelong smokers onto less harmful forms of smoking, while others say that they risk drawing the new generation into nicotine addiction, especially with these nice flavours. E-cigs don't produce tar and carbon monoxide like cigarettes, but studies have found that the vapour does contain some toxic chemicals, just at lower levels. So we want to know, should we do more to control vaping?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
No, and this is something that, even though I don't know the stories, I have done an absolute ton of research
on. Of vaping.
Of vaping.
Right.
Because I was a very, very heavy smoker, and the way I stopped was through vaping. So no, I don't think we should do more to control vaping. It's a great way of weaning off cigarettes. And I personally, and that could be quite ignorant, have yet to meet someone that has gone from not vaping to vaping, to not smoking at all, to deciding to vape.
Personally.
All
right. Oh, Lucy looks contentious.
I love this podcast because it is so divisive. This is like, you almost get to have a fight and it's allowed.
And then you get to hug afterwards. It's great. No, I see it's children getting into vaping. It's grown massively. And I totally agree with you. It's a great way to stop smoking.
Yes, absolutely.
And it should never, ever be banned. It should always be there as an option. But flavours like unicorn horn and cereal milk, they are targeted at children. Influencers are promoting
Tutti Frutti.
They're not targeted at children. They absolutely 100%
are not
targeted
at children. Okay, what do you think about this then? Mia Khalifa, who, okay, is a porn actress, but she was promoting it like, I've got one vape for every outfit for this specific spawn that she did.
Yeah.
It is, targeted or not, it's going to attract children, and the amount of children taking it up, teenagers and children, I think it's like 13% of all high school students
above
America.
The age of 16. I think that, so to kind of explain a few things, there is zero carbon monoxide and it doesn't produce any tar, so some of the most harmful parts of a cigarette. That's what kills you, that's what gives you cancer. The toxic chemicals it does have is when it's abused. It's when it's used irresponsibly. So you can burn the fluid at a certain level. So when you buy your basic, average, little one in a shop that doesn't come with one of those massive batteries, that burns at a voltage that doesn't produce the chemicals that are bad for you. So those are absolutely fine. They do little to zero damage to you whatsoever.
But there are
where also, it's taken seriously, where you know it's vaping is now, it's a sport. You can compete in it.
How do you compete in vaping?
With the rings. Smoke rings.
Right, blows across the room.
Like ice skating.
Well, it's a little bit more highbrow.
I
than
love
ice skating.
The shade. And can I just say, Lucy's actually wearing shades.
While she's throwing shades.
Yes. Description. I forgot my
exactly.
glasses.
Exactly. So when people have those special batteries, they push the voltage up where it's not meant to be.
Wow.
That burns the chemicals and can give you things called cottage lung. And it can also release these chemicals that they're talking about. But to put it into perspective, when they do release the chemicals, it's still at the most... a minute fraction compared to an actual cigarette.
Well, I think cottage lung sounds lovely.
In all fairness, I don't think it's fair to say that we know categorically it doesn't produce any.
It hasn't been around long enough.
We don't know. There haven't been enough
studies. There hasn't been enough, but the research that has happened has said that it's.
I agree with you.
I mean, there was a thing I was in research for this. I was watching a video on YouTube, great research platform, which was a guy who vaped into some cotton balls for a month, and there was 95% less than smoking in terms of damage.
But the thing is here, you've got the one chemical that we've left out, and that is the addictive one, nicotine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's good, safe, or I don't think it's okay for young people to be consuming any chemical products
that is potentially addictive.
I have a really good solution.
Nicotine is potentially addictive. Did you say nicotine is potentially addictive?
That can be addictive.
Oh, sorry.
I did say potentially. There was the word potentially.
Okay. I'm ready to jump on you. But also, you said in your statement there about I don't think that it should be banned at all or changed at all.
Not if there's the same limit as alcohol.
But, okay, I think that vaping should exist to help people get off cigarettes, right? And naturally, someone who wants to get off cigarettes is going to be okay with a cigarette-y flavour, or maybe they might want to go to menthol. Why would someone want to get off cigarettes need Tutti Frutti or Unicorn Horn?
Because it's actually the opposite. So that's why I was saying where the flavours aren't actually catered towards kids, they can't replicate the taste and the flavour of a cigarette. So when you get the flavours that are nicotine-based, they taste so different, they're so horrible, that actually it puts you off using a vape because they're so different.
I know, but getting off
cigarettes
shouldn't be an overly enjoyable process. Mm. What's happening here is a vape is turning into almost a more dangerous lollipop.
It's like an accessory,
It helps some people, but it also damages a lot of other people by turning them into addicts of a device that we don't know could potentially lead to harmful.
We do know from initial research that it is the risks and the actual effect on you is so small compared to having an actual cigarette. And the other thing is that for the last 3 months when I was vaping, I was on zero nicotine. So that's another big part
of it. That's the point
that
I wanted to bring up.
There's zero nicotine
flavors.
We've
got to ask ourselves why children or young teenagers are vaping. And I think it's more for the sport of it. So keep the flavors, but only have them in nicotine-free vapes. And if they want to do it, they can.
I completely disagree with you. If you're letting your child vape, there is something wrong with you. If there's an 18-year-old, that's like going, I really don't think there should be any advertising or marketing on alcohol because 13-year-olds are drinking it. They're going to do that anyway. I don't think it's fair to attack a whole product because young children are using it. If those young children are going to use it anyway. If the law's in place to say you can't buy it till you're 18, you can't buy it till you're 21, that's the same as alcohol.
Vaping has gone from being a health device to a lifestyle device. And I think that's a massive issue and it needs to be brought back to just a health device.
It's stylish, it's fashion.
Oh, yeah.
No, I disagree again because alcohol is worse for you than vaping. And so you should start attacking alcohol before you do a vape.
But I'm talking about vaping right now.
Okay, well, I think it's okay that people make the choice that the negative impact that a vape has on me is worth the lifestyle.
Can I ask you something? When you were moving across to vaping, did you vape more than you would have lit up? Were you sucking on it more? Hey,
I think I definitely think I was.
Both of my parents have gone from cigarettes to vaping.
Yeah.
And it was a device that they used to transition across.
Yeah.
That was 8 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it was a long time. Like, they were the earliest vapors that I ever saw.
But aren't you glad they're not smoking?
I am so glad they're not smoking. But I can tell you that my father's vape is like an adult's soother.
Yeah.
He uses it for comfort. He uses it when he's bored. He's actually doing it now without realizing. And I tap him like, Dad, what do you need that right now? And he goes, he doesn't even realize it's
still in his mouth. Still with nicotine. Has he gone down to zero nicotine?
He's still on nicotine.
Well, to be fair, nicotine, again, people drink for the same reasons. People sometimes drink at the weekend and socially and forget that you don't have to have a drink to go out. It becomes part of lifestyle. Drinking is a massive part of British lifestyle.
I know, but I don't have a drink in my hand while I'm driving my car. I don't have a drink in my hand while I'm on the toilet, while I'm at a dinner table, while I'm at a cafe, while I'm working. I have seen people, not just my parents, vaping so much that I'm actually wondering, I think you've got the vape in your mouth more than it is not.
Yeah, but what if the damages and the harm it does is so minute that that's okay.
I don't think it's okay because they depend on it. It becomes anything that we depend on beyond air, food, and light, I think, is a bad thing.
But that's not going to be solved by regulation. That's going to be solved by people getting control of themselves. Well,
because they'll find some. Yeah.
But we're talking about controlling vaping here. And I don't think it's about controlling it for everyone. I think it's about making it less attractive to children and striking a balance between between people who need the vapes to curb their nicotine addiction and then stopping new people starting up vaping because it's cool and it's a lifestyle. Mm.
Advertising as well. Any glamorous advertising of a vape needs to go.
They're not advertised, though. They're not allowed to advertise. They have to abide by the same rules as cigarettes in terms of television and things like that.
Yeah, but I've seen print advertisements for vapes that look very sexy. And I never see cigarette ads that look sexy. It's always there aren't any.
Well, the only thing I would say about that is that with cigarettes, it had to be controlled because the Fortune 500 was dominated by cigarette companies and tobacco companies, and they had power over everything. And whereas vapes are coming from tiny little Chinese manufacturers, the liquids are coming from 1,000 different sources. In itself, it's own bad thing. I can see your reaction to that live.
The market's worth billions.
Yes, but it's not dominated by 10 brands, for example. So when you're saying...
I don't know, there's one big brand in the US called Juul.
They're deliberately marketing like this to attract... I think they're just trying to make them cool. Do you know what I mean? They're just trying to... It's just natural.
The FDA this week is... I think they've either just announced or are about to announce that they are actually banning all the flavours, the fruit flavours and the sweet flavours. They're going to... Yeah.
That's massive.
Well, it's such a big problem. There is such a sharp rise in middle school students and high school students. I think it's 3% of middle school and 13% of high school.
That's like going, too many kids that shouldn't be drinking alcohol are drinking alcohol, so let's ban alcohol.
No, not ban alcohol. Let's change the way that we market alcohol and the way that we sell it. If there were loads of Alco-Pops or like bubblegum flavoured drinks and stuff. I mean, do you remember the issue with Alco-Pops?
Yeah, Alco-Pops were heavily controlled, yeah.
It should be against advertising standards globally for an influencer, let's say, to do what this porn star did, which was go, look, this one goes with my dress. Mm. I don't think should be advertised in that way at all, because here you have an aspirational individual that people will look up to, and this person goes, I do this and you should do this too. And you know, of course there are going to be people under probably the age of 13 that are going to see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what horribly terrible thing did I say earlier when I first started talking about this lovely
Everyone
subject?
Everyone needs cancer.
No, and this is something that, even though I don't know the stories, I have done an absolute ton of research
on. Of vaping.
Right.
Because I was a very, very heavy smoker, and the way I stopped was through vaping. So no, I don't think we should do more to control vaping. It's a great way of weaning off cigarettes. And I personally, and that could be quite ignorant, have yet to meet someone that has gone from not vaping to vaping, to not smoking at all, to deciding to vape. Oh, it's so cringe. God, I'm an arrogant prick.
I've done loads of research.
I'm so well informed. I hated listening to that. I've not liked listening to myself this week, guys. I still kind of agree with that. I think it's less harmful than alcohol, and if too many young kids are buying it, then parents kind of need to do more. But again, I can kind of move towards what Lucy and Riyad have been saying, in that bright colours attract kids, so you can't really blame them when they're then attracted towards it, and kids should be protected. So that does make sense.
Boom.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter on our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the quickfire round. So Josh, Iceland's Christmas advert about rainforest destruction was deemed too politically contentious to broadcast on TV. Josh, do you think cutting down rainforests for palm oil is politically contentious?
Yes.
A local Spanish government are censoring songs in schools that have lyrics that are misogynist. Josh, do you think we should do the same thing in the UK?
Yeah, I think you should know more about the world before you... Yeah, absolutely.
Before you get sexist. Josh, an investigation is underway after pilots reported a UFO sighting off the Irish coast. Do you think the aliens are real? And do you think they visit Earth in secret?
I do think they're real because Professor Brian Cox 3 days ago told me they were. And
To your face.
To my face.
Really?
Yes, he did.
You met Brian Cox?
So I did. It was great.
I hate you.
But do they visit Earth? Yes, and I think they do, because I think Steven Spielberg was paid a lot of money by the American government to introduce them into our popular culture, so that if they did escape the confinements we had them in, we wouldn't be too scared by them.
Wow.
All right, and the good news story of the week is that people are going mad about the appearance of Jigglypuff in the new Pokemon film trailer, Detective Pikachu. Jigglypuff has fur.
Yes, but also, did you see that people were also going crazy because they realized that people eat Pokemon and Pokemon eat Pokemon?
That's horrible. I haven't seen this trailer.
So there are people cooking in the background, and if the animals in a Pokemon world are Pokemon, either everyone's a vegetarian or they eat Pokemon.
Oh, God. How do you know that they were cooking meat?
They could have been cooking a vegetarian omelette.
I mean, they'd have to be... Everyone would either have to be vegetarian...
Yeah. ...to be good news, guys.
It's... Yes,
I know. I'm sad.
I'm sorry I ruined it.
All right, well, thank you on that note for listening to this episode of Educating Josh with our lovely guest, Riyad. Riyad, where can people go find you?
I'm on the internet, at Riyad K, or you can check out my podcast on anywhere you get podcasts. It's called Unexpected Fluids.
Fantastic. Well, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Educating Josh, all the polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. And please send in more questions for next week's Quickfire Round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What's the difference between snowmen and snow women?
Snowballs.
No, why do you always ruin it?
Oh, that's really good. That's really good.
Snowballs.
Right, all right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.